Okay. Thank you once again. When we all get back next week, I'd like you to just somehow express thanks to our group. We still don't know what we call them, the Abbey Five or whatever we call them. The praise team. And all the work that they've done. And I was actually watching one of my friends. He started his church up today. And so I was watching a little bit of him live. And what was funny is he was sitting up on a stage with a chair and a table like this. And he just goes, "It's so nice to have real people." You know, it's just so nice to have real people to talk to. So, and it will be. It'll be next week. Will be a really great time. We originally were going to meet this week. We originally were going to start today in the church, and this was going to be our first Sunday as we came back. But when the governor came and decided that on the 21st of May the restaurants would open up, and you could go to have you could sit in the restaurants and open up. Then we figured that would probably be a better time, because that's kind of a psychological thing. I guess if we can go to the restaurants, we can go to church. Usually it's go to church and you go to restaurants, but now it's going to be go to restaurants and go to church, I guess. But by the way, yesterday Polly and I went, woohoo! We went to Mexican, got some La Carreta? I just call it Mexican. We got some La Carreta, and we made sure that we got there at 10 or 11:15. To make sure that we got a seat, and by 11:30, it was all five of their tables were full. So we got there at the right time. But I also heard some bad news. Chinese buffets. I heard they're still not going to be able to open for a while. So life is not good in that front. So we'll see how good I do at making Chinese now. Oh, I did it again. I lost my packet again. And I've really been debating about what to preach next week as we get together. And I do want to share with you how active this church has been during the close down of the last 2 months. Because we have been very active, and of course we're doing a lot of things electronically, but we've been ministering to kids and everything else. And so I do want to share that with you, but I was also debating about what exactly to share with you, what we've learned through the pandemic. That might be what we talk about, but one thing we do know is that the church as we know it is not going to be the same. We know that. Almost every pastor that I have talked to has said the same thing. The church as we know it, or as we knew it 2 months ago, will not be the same. And we already showed you what the seating arrangement is going to be for the time being. Various things such as how do we take up offerings and communion and all that. It's not going to be the same. We just kind of want you to understand that when we do get back together. This has been a week. Usually when I say that, it usually means it's a week I would rather have gone to the lake and spent the entire week up there, just because I've had it. And it was one of these weeks. Yesterday I got notice that a friend of mine, not a real close, but just an acquaintance of mine from Fort Wayne Bible College, died unexpectedly. He was my age. You know, one thing I'm noticing as I'm getting older is that more and more people my age are dying. And I think it's going to get more and more closer to that, I guess. But found out that he had died. I don't know why. And it was just one of those weeks when you just keep getting hit in the head. Boom, boom, boom. It's like, boom. Okay, let's see if we can beat, boom. Let's beat you up, boom. Have you ever had those weeks? I mean, still can't go see my mom, who's in a nursing home. She's been there for over 2 months, never yet seen her in the nursing home. We're finding out that we probably won't be able to see her until probably July 4th, is what they're saying. We had a Zoom meeting yesterday on, okay, we have to sell the house. If anyone wants to buy a house in Allen County, Indiana, we got one for sale. You know, and all those things just kind of pile up every once in a while. And I was thinking about that in relation to King David, because if you've been reading the chronological Bible, and hopefully you've been doing this, and I have been listening to individuals who are saying that they have been doing this and how it's been opening up their eyes, because many times we read scriptures from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation all the way through, and we it's hard for us to put in context exactly what was happening at the time. And we're in the middle right now of talking about King David and some mistakes that he made, the sin with Bathsheba, the killing of Uriah. Your mother-in-law puts it on the chronological Facebook page of I don't understand this. Why would King David do this with Absalom? And we kind of explain a little bit. And then she made a very profound statement at the end of it. She says, it's a prime example of how when we sin, how it affects other people. And many times we don't look at that and we don't understand that. We say, oh, it's my body, my will, my way. You know, it's not going to affect other people, really. Really. There's a lot I can go into that. But the one thing that I noticed during this time, and the one thing that I noticed during reading of the chronology of the Bible is we're now getting into the Psalms. And when I was younger, Psalms were not my favorite book of the Bible. I'm not a poetical person. Hickory dickory dock, you know, the mouse went up the clock. I mean, that's about all that I do when it comes to poetry. Now, my wife is very musical, so she's more than that than I am. But if you get into the Psalms, and I'm starting to like them even more now, when you get into the Psalms and you hear the heart-wrenching of King David, there are some where he's just going, oh, God, you are great. There's no one but you. And then there's other ones he's going, where are you? Save me from my adversaries. And then there's the ones that we've been reading this week, Psalm 51 and 32, where it says, take this transgression, take this sin from me. And those are, the Psalms are songs, don't get me wrong, but they're also the prayers of King David. Someone once said, if you truly want to know how someone is spiritually, eavesdrops on their prayers. Find out how they pray. So this week, and Polly can attest, there was a couple days, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. And it kind of hit me this week that, first of all, your praying has been laxing a little bit. But how have you been praying? And I'm reminded of my favorite psalm, Psalm 8, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And that's nothing but a psalm of praise and exaltation of who God is. And it reminded me of how sometimes that our praying is not really God glorifying, but it's self-serving. Someone also said once that everything changes when you seek the face of God. So that's what I started to do a couple days ago, is start to seek God's face, but not in to say, where are you, O God? Even though I know I prayed that this week. But also in the prayer of God, you are wonderful, you are great. And so this morning I walked around. Have you noticed the birds, how loud they are right now? I'm reminded of Happy Days. Remember when Fonzie on Happy Days, when he was out camping one time and all the birds were singing, the owls were hooting, he finally goes, cool it, and they all stop. You know, and that's kind of what I thought of the last couple days. Man, you guys are loud. You're not letting anybody sleep. But I walked around this morning, I walked around the house, and I just started thinking, God, this is... You're wonderful. You're great. Let's look at this creation that you have created. I think if we're honest, Westerners don't totally understand what true prayer is about. Have you noticed that when I'm online, I'm a little bit more blunt than I am when you are all in person? I've noticed that too. It's like, because I can't read your faces. But I think that's one thing. In the Western, in our praying, in our prayers, we've kind of shied away from the worship that's in prayer. And we've given nothing more than a shopping list where we go to God and say, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. And some of it has been really exemplified in the prosperity movement and the prosperity gospel, where you go to God and you say, this is what I want, and I'm naming it, and I'm claiming it, and I'm going to, even though it goes against what scriptures say, and it goes against, I mean, you look at how many times in scriptures that God didn't answer the prayers of the people, and so in Luke chapter 11, one day Jesus was praying at a certain place. This is what it says. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus says, when you pray, say. Now, this is important, what I'm going to share with you. Because the Greek word here, Greek is very important, but Greek word here is a present imperative. And what that means is, this is what Jesus says. This is how you are to pray, or this is how you're going to pray. It is not an issue of this is how you should pray, or this is how you could pray. It's not an issue of, well, you could do it this way, but you can also do this. What Jesus is saying is, you must always pray this way. And he starts out by saying, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sinned against us, and lead us not to temptation. Now, you get other versions and they add some to it, you know, some other parts that is found in scriptures. But in Luke chapter 11, I choose this because if you go further in the Luke chapter 11, you see that God is addressed as Father. You go to verse 5, he's addressed as friend. And then if you go to Luke chapter 18, he's also addressed as judge. And I think that's important for us to understand as we are approaching God with prayer and as King David approached God in prayer. So we look at this and it says, Father, hallowed be your name. Reverence and respect. Boy, where'd you hear that before? That we go to him, Father, hallowed be your name. I remember when I was growing up, we used to get in trouble for this one, but on the TV, they were addressing their father as old man. You remember that? Hey, old man. And my brother made the mistake one time of going up to my dad and saying, hey, old man. And my dad kind of cornered him. And kind of told him, you will never refer to me that way ever again. So we go to God and we just say, oh God, how are you? How you doing, big man upstairs? We're saying, Father. It's a sign of reverence and respect. It says, hallowed be your name. It means be holy. Holy is your name. How great you are. How magnificent you are. You are, there is no one like you. You are God. Your kingdom come. Your response. That should be the desire of each and every Christian. Not for the kingdom of Darwin, or Abby, or Polly, or Jeff, or whoever. But the kingdom of God. May your will be done. And sometimes God's will is not our will. And it's hard for us to comprehend that sometimes, that sometimes God blesses and God takes away. And sometimes God said, hey, this ain't the way it's going to be. It's going to be my way. Kind of the sovereignty of God issue. You know, I remember going to Fort Wayne Bible College, and I remember people usually, they called the vine of God's own planting, and how God will never take this away because it's doing so much good in the world. And probably within 10 years of me leaving that, Fort Wayne Bible College was no more. Actually, it was less than that. God had a bigger plan. So our prayer should be, your kingdom come. And then he goes on and says, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. And so those when the requests come in. And the daily bread is not a $35 million jet. A bread is essentially the basics of life. See, in America, we have the two cars, and we park our cars in houses for the cars that are bigger than most houses that people live in the world. And so most people in the world are actually praying, Kim, just give me my daily bread. This pandemic, the Churches of God sent out a plea for funds in the pandemic because many of our mission fields, the people are starting to starve because they can't work because they've shut everything down in India and Bangladesh and other parts of the world. And we sent out this past week pictures of people who were receiving food because you had given to the donations. Donations had gone to the Churches of God, and they're buying food for these people. And now they're not buying them steak. They're not buying them a Mexican from La Carota or whatever. What is that place? Mexican. They're not buying that for them, but they're giving them basics. And forgive us our sins. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has turned our backs on God. The neat part is, and I didn't realize this until I was studying King David this week. Okay, this is neat. I love this. Okay, so King David has an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, right? And causes her husband to die and basically commits murder, even though he didn't physically do it, but you know he was an accessory to murder. And then Bathsheba was pregnant. She gave birth to a son. We don't know the name of the son, and God said he was going to take that son. And so King David then went to fasting and prayer and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted for the sake of that baby, and that baby eventually died. What did King David do immediately after the child died? He got up, he washed himself, and he went and he worshiped. Even though this is the result of his sin, what did he do? He worshiped. I think the best part about that is the fact that even though we sin, God forgives us and we can go back to worship. What greater coup is there against Satan than for us to worship after he, I don't want to say he caused us to stumble, but after he gloats in our sin and that we go back and we worship. And King David, that's what he did. He worshiped. And then so that's our requests. And then he talks about resources and give us this day our daily bread, relationships where we are actually going and in some respects repairing relationships. For we also sin, forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not to temptation. Some of the sins that we're dealing with right now, the reason why we haven't overcome them, because we haven't asked God to help us to overcome them. So, this is what Jesus said. He says, this is not how you should pray. This is how you're going to pray. Big difference. So in our praying, we need to realize that God is our Father. And we go to Him with reverence and respect. Now, I got a lot of this information from a man named Dan Henderson. And so if you look him up, you'll see that I have to give honor where honor is due. What do you call it? So I don't plagiarize. But a lot of this came from him, and he's a man that's really focused on prayer, and he's a man who's really trying to get American and Western churches to change their focus on prayer so that they can start focusing on God once again instead of themselves. And I thought about some of the things that he said, and he talks about, as I said before, some of the prayers and that we pray, and there's some out there that I believe God actually hates, even though he wants us to go to him with our needs. But if that's all we go to him for, I think we've lost the mark. And what do we do in church when we come to prayer meeting? We have a prayer list. Not saying that's wrong, but we're missing the mark. How about our prayer meetings where we're exalting who God is and we're glorifying who God is? And oh, by the way, God, I know you're great and I know you've provided in the past and I know you'll provide in the future. But you know what my needs are and here they are. Personally, my favorite prayers are prayers of exaltation. I love it when I read the Psalms and you hear something like this in Psalm 8 says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set the glory in the heavens, and through the praise of your children, infants, you have established strongholds against your enemies and silenced the foe and avenger. When I consider, this is my favorite part, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of him? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than your angels and crowned them with glory and honor. And you have made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under your feet. All flocks and herds and animals of the wild and birds in the sky and fish in the sea all swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That is my favorite psalm. And I love what he says because he's exalting who God is, reverence and respect, and recognizing how small we are, but how great God is. And who is Darwin that you're mindful of him? So we approach him as Father, reverence and respect, intimacy. The word Father is found 14 times as it relates to God in the Old Testament. But he said, hallowed, which has been glorified. How honoring you are. You are worthy to be praised. John 12:28 says, Father, glorify your name. And that should be our attitude of God, glorify your name. Now, I want to stop and I want to make a comment here, especially to you men. Your children will view God the Father based upon how you treat them. Now, I'm not saying that you should coddle them. I tried to give a very, very big balance with my kids when they were little. And there's Dad, he's firm, but he's loving, wise in advice. And I try real hard because my dad was distant. If you ask two words that I could give to my dad, he was distant and angry. So how do I view God? Distant and angry. I asked Polly this the other day. I said, so how do you view your dad? She goes, with respect, because he made me have respect for him. And then she goes, but he was wise. He was wise and godly. So men, understand that we will view, your children will view God because you are their father. And if you're angry all the time, and if you're distant all the time, and that's how they'll view God. And they will struggle with it. Trust me, I know. So how you view your father, earthly father, is usually what you deal with when you're looking at your heavenly father. So who is the father? Or where is the father? God the Father. He's in heaven. Who is God the Father? He is the ultimate authority. And so what should we do as Christians? We should be seeking his face. That's the neat part about Christianity. We don't have to go through mediators anymore. We can go straight to God the Father. And we can literally seek his face. And we can walk outside in God's creation, and we can listen to the birds that are singing, and the squirrels that are yelling at me from the trees, you know. And we can look at God and we go, "Oh God, you are magnificent. You have created so much." And yet we look at what King David said in the Psalms. I just did a real quick survey of the Psalms that we are to read this week, and look at how King David viewed God or said about God. Psalm 50, "The mighty one God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising sun to where it sets." Psalm 52, verse 2, "God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see where there are any who understand, who seek him." Verse 60, verse 6, "God has spoken from his sanctuary." Psalm 75, verse 1. "We praise you, God, we praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds." Psalm 65, verse 1. "Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion." Psalm 66, verse 1. "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Say, how awesome are your deeds." Psalm 67, verse 3. "May the peoples praise you, O God." Psalm 68, verse 4. "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord." Notice what King David did. Now, not all his psalms were that way, which I said before. Some of them were like, "God, where are you? Protect me from my enemies." And some of them just go straight into that. And I think the neat part about that is because God is our eternal Father, and we find out later that he's also our friend, according to Luke chapter 11, verse 5, we can go to him with what is on our minds intimately. But as I said before, our response should be for his kingdom to come. When we pray, we also need to realize that God is our faithful friend. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Let me get that here. And then Jesus goes on and says this. "And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and it goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.'" And he goes on and says, "Friend, why are you waking me up?" and all that. I'll let you read that on your own. But I want you to see that we also refer to him as God the Father, but also friend. Now, I don't believe it's the type of friendship that we think of. I mean, there's actually a hymn that I don't like singing because I think it lowers who God is. But Abby knows what it is. And if she picks it out in church, I'm not going to protest or anything like that. But I think it just kind of lowers who God is. But the neat part is that God can be referred to as a friend, meaning this. How do you treat your friends? Think about this. Who are your friends? Now, Polly's got a couple friends. Polly does have some friends. So Polly has a couple friends. Who are they, Polly?
I have several.
She wasn't paying attention. Okay, who's your friends? Lori, Cheryl, Tam, what else? Tammy and Tammy. Oh, yeah, you got a number of Tammys that are friends. Okay, here's the neat part about friendship. Polly doesn't know that I'm talking to her. I was going to bring her out. But do you share things with them that you share with no one else? She said yes. Do you share things with them that you don't share with me? She said yes. Okay, all the women here, how many have the same thing, do the same thing? You share with friends things you don't even share with your spouse. Okay. For those who do not see, they all raise their hands, with the exception of Jeff because he's not a woman. Okay, now, I do that for a reason, because this actually came from a book that I was reading. So you gals are safe. But friendships are... And I have some friends too, a few, but I have some friends too. And one of them, a couple of them in particular, but one in particular now has Alzheimer's. Before he had Alzheimer's, I would share with him even some sins that I was struggling with. I was like, "You need to pray for me in this area." And that's the key about God, being a friend. It's not that we lower who he is, but we can go to him and share what is exactly on our hearts and minds. God, I don't like this. Where are you? And that's the neat part. Because and that's where that personal relationship with God is all about. Is we can go to him. And the neat part is, and I believe that he listens to us. I don't want to say I believe. I know he listens to us. Give us this day our daily bread, and referring to requests. Now the last one is, he is also our judge. So I was doing a lot of thinking about judges here. Especially in relation to Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18, a woman went to a judge and kept pestering that judge so that she could have success against her adversary. That's essentially what it was. So I'll let you read that on your own. But what does a judge do? A judge judges, right? Brings judgment upon someone who needs judgment to be brought upon them. All right? Now, is God a judge? Yes. You will stand before the judgment throne of God. It will happen. The Bible says so. Everyone will stand before them. Now, for a Christian, there's basically two types of judgment. One is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which if you're a Christian, your name is. That means you are entered into the kingdom of God. There's also another judgment where it refers to the rewards that you're going to receive based upon what you have done with what God has given to you. So how you treat your children, how you the family, you're part of a church, how you deal with the church, all of this. I will have to give an account for everything that I have done in the churches that I have pastored. You want to talk about a scary thing? But I don't believe it's referring to losing my salvation. That's not what that's referring to. That's referring to the rewards that you're going to receive. The salvation issue is based upon, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Okay. So a judge will bring judgment. A judge also brings justice. Okay, so if someone the only illustration I can give in our society is I had one, but now I don't like it. Justice would be if I were to do a crime, a property crime against you, then the judge would say you have to pay restitution and that type of stuff. So that's justice. Another one is this also gives requests. I've been listening to some of the judges. There was one in Huntington, Indiana, where this family gave a football field, the land for a football field to the school, said you're to use it, and once you're supposed to give it back, if you don't use it for athletics anymore. You remember that was on the news. And they went before a judge and had a request. Can you give us clarity on when this stops? And the judge said, well, this land all belongs to the school. Okay, so you had that. Okay. So he pardons, he protects, and he provides. That's what a judge does. And so if you're being abused by someone, you can go before the judge and a restraining order is brought about. Now, do they pay attention to it or not? That's a different story. But God pardons, means he forgives us of our sins, he protects us, and he provides for us. Everything that you have to understand, I truly believe, was given to you by God Almighty. Everything. And so, when there is an issue, the first thing we should do is we should go to God instead of taking it upon ourselves. Romans chapter 12, especially when there's adversaries against us and does nasty things against us or whatever else. And Romans chapter 12 says we're not to repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Why? Why the eyes of everyone? Because our purpose is your kingdom come. Not Darwin's kingdom, your kingdom come. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him.
Ooh, 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 ouch, ooh, ow, ooh, ooh, ooh.
You mean that person that, I'm sweating it? Yep, yep. I don't like that. I don't like it either. I just know what the Bible says. But notice what it says. Let God avenge. Let God avenge. I've been in ministry for 34, going on 35 years. I've seen a lot of things. And I've experienced a lot of things. One of the hardest things for me to do is to sit back and let God take care of it. This is my fourth church. There are times you just have to say, God, you take care of it. And sometimes it takes years. I remember one in particular. About 2 to 3 years after I left a church and went to another church, one of my friends literally said, you know so-and-so, that was your adversary in the church? I go, yeah. And thanks for bringing up his name. He actually came up and says, you know what, Darwin was right. I went, yeah! But it took like 3 years for that to come about. He goes, I guess Darwin was right. And you just kind of want to dance on the table. See what happens when you don't have people in front of you? You can do weird things like this. But you let God take care of it. So I got a challenge for you, because that's what King David kind of did. I'm now studying King David and Absalom, and I'm struggling with that, because I look at King David, and a lot of his personality issues is what I have, and how he dealt with Absalom. You know, did David do the right thing with Absalom? And so I'm struggling with that. But I really want to challenge you this week in some areas. I want you to examine your prayer life. I would like for you to try to make one half of your prayer time nothing but reverence and respect. And you're saying, but I'm having a hard time thinking of things to say. Well, guess what? You got a whole bunch of psalms that you can praise. Go to Psalm 8 and pray Psalm 8. Or some of the other psalms. Just pray it. Oh, Lord, when I consider the heavens and the stars, wow. What am I? What is Darwin that you're mindful of him? So spend half the time in reverence and respect of God. Then one-fourth of the time, share your intimate thoughts, even your sins, with God. Things that you wouldn't even share with your spouse. Share that with God, saying, God, I don't know if I'm handling this right. I want your kingdom to come, but I don't know. Am I doing this right? God, I'm struggling with this sin issue, and you know what it is. I've been playing this game, but lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And one-fourth of the time, spend it in requests, protection, and justice. God, this pandemic, I don't know what to do. I've been laid off, and finances are tight. I need you to provide. And then I want to, and I didn't put it in the slide here, but close off with reverence and respect. Most of the time we'll spend 90% on requests and protection and justice, but I want you to spend more time on praise and see if that doesn't change your outlook. As I said, this week. I mean, I started going to the doctor, and the doctor didn't. I got another 6 months of this stupid cyst that's on the kidney. Don't know what's going to come out. I'm going to be pregnant again, or what's going to happen. I mean, and my friend of mine died. And it's when I started praising God and remembering some of the Psalms that it kind of got me out of it. And I want to challenge you in that area. Our purpose is to glorify God in all that we do and that His kingdom comes. Let's pray. And Father, today we come and we pray Your blessing upon us. And we pray that You will help us. Help us to look at You with reverence and respect. Help us to give You praise and honor and glory, for You are worthy to be praised. Help us to pray as Jesus mandated we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, help us and guide us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Here, turning lives around. I is who you are. That 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 is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
I look forward to seeing you all next week, and 2 months, 2 months, but it's going to be a great day of celebration when the church comes back. You're welcome to wear your mask if you want to. We're just asking social distancing, and we'll do all we can to make it a very comfortable, safe, but above all, God-glorifying day. So anyway, we look forward to seeing you all. Let's pray. Father, once again, we honor you this day. You are worthy to be praised. You are God. You are the way maker. You're the miracle worker. And we thank you. Lord, throughout this week, may we continue to glorify you, for you are worthy to be praised. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll see you all next week.